CFL Thought Leader, Episode 15.
Hi, this is Carlos Salazar, CFO of Intellidyne. You're listening to the CFO Thought Leader Podcast.
Trapped in a backward-looking finance function? Join Jack Sweeney and today's most inspiring CFO thought leaders and advance to the front lines of strategic decision-making.
It's no secret that account reconciliations that involve transaction matching can be labor-intensive. Blackline Systems Financial Close Suite makes this work easy by rapidly reconciling millions of transactions per minute. Check out a no-hassle free demo at CFOThoughtLeaderDemo.com.
Hello and welcome to CFO Thought Leader. Our guest today is David Morris, CFO of Guardian Pharmacy, the third largest long-term care pharmacy company in the U.S. First, let's mention that Guardian's business model is designed to maximize the benefits of local autonomy. And by this, I mean Guardian actually shares ownership in its business units with local management teams. And I mention this up front because I think this is truly an innovative approach and one that is setting Guardian apart from other long-term care pharmacies. So without another word here, David, welcome.
Thank you, Jack. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. Now, we look forward to discussing this aspect of the model with you, but first, I was hoping you'd tell us a little bit about your arrival there at Guardian and how you came to step into the CFO role.
Yeah, I mean, we stepped in the beginning. I think going back and looking at what we did prior to Guardian, you know, played a huge role in this. Fred Burton, CEO, and I have been partners in that business, and Kendall Forbes joined us as well. So we were here in the beginning when this started almost 10 years ago, and that really shaped, you know, our philosophy heading into this.
What was that philosophy? I mean, as a someone steeped in finance knowledge and your background, I believe, also in operations, perhaps. What was your philosophy of finance and the kind of job you were hoping to create here for yourself?
And Jack, what we did and thinking about coming into this, how we're going to structure it, I look back at what we did the 10 years prior to this, and we also had a healthcare services pharmacy model. It was actually the nuclear pharmacy business, and it was a local autonomy model as well. And what we did is really take the things that we had learned and the challenges we had had over the previous 10 years, modify those and adapt those so that we could learn and continue to grow in this support model in this new business we were starting, you know, in long-term care pharmacy. You know, and the philosophy we had before and the philosophy we had today is one of really a consultant. If you look at the teams we're supporting, most of them are healthcare professionals where business is not something that they've really studied in a formal setting. So, you know, we're really working with our partners and teaching them, you know, MBA type subject matter for non-business people. So that's really a philosophy of how we kind of came at this. We wanted to make sure that finance provided, you know, the structure and support that our partners would need. And it were things, you know, the basic financials, working capital, things of that nature. But we also knew in the long-term care pharmacy business there were a lot more complicated analytical tools that they need. So we came at it not just from a financial standpoint, but a financial slash operational standpoint. And over the years, they've really built up a robust set of operational and analytical tools that we think help our pharmacies manage their businesses better than anyone in our industry.
Can you help us understand some of the special challenges you face when it comes to executing this type of local ownership model?
You know, we've worked with hundreds of pharmacies, you know, in the 9 years we've been here. Some have become partners, and for others, it just wasn't the right fit. And one of the biggest challenges that we faced and still face is finding the right balance to help a pharmacy partner, you know. And the balance is one thing. Another is just, you know, getting the buy-in from a partner. And when we talk to potential partners and tell them about the Guardian model and the local autonomy and the local ownership and how it all works, many partners or potential partners, I would say, find it almost too good to be true. Now, how can you help me with all these things that I don't do very well? Let me focus on the customers and the local team, and together, you know, we'll grow a successful business. And we find that challenging. And what it takes, and what we found, that over a period of time, it may be 6 months, it may be 2 years, we develop mutual respect with our local entrepreneurs and teams, and it's vice versa. So, and the things we bring to the table, the things they bring to the table, really drive the business to heights that you know, the local entrepreneur probably never envisioned.
Part of this is you're a big believer, Guardian's a big believer of empowering decision making along the front lines. How does finance play a role in that? What types of tools are perhaps you arming these local autonomous groups with?
Well, it's a couple things, and it's not just the tools. I mentioned earlier that this long-term care pharmacy reimbursement, you know, tight margins, lots of pressure from reimbursement, it requires not only the right tools and toolkits, but also the right people. So we provide all of that from here, the support, the tools, the guidance, the coaching, but we've also found that in these businesses, we need very strong financial leaders in the pharmacies. Most of our financial leaders today are CPAs or MBAs, and you couple that strong person with the tools and the structure we find that we provide from here, it is a powerful model to carry the business forward. Yeah, I mentioned the toolkits. There's a financial toolkit. There's an operational analytical toolkit that helps the local teams keep a pulse on all the key metrics, you know, in the business. Another area where finance plays a key role is in the business planning process. And, you know, one may look at that and say, business planning, I mean, that sounds simple, but it's really not. I mean, most of the businesses we partner with don't go through the business planning process. And I know a lot of large businesses that don't invest the time and energy into it, but we put a lot of effort into it, do it on an annual basis. And it really gives us all, the local teams as well as our team here, a clear picture of our goals going forward, what the scorecard is, so that we can gauge ourselves as we go through the year. So I think, you know, those are some of the key ways that, you know, finance makes a huge difference in growing our business.
Can you identify for us some of the key metrics that are important to your business?
Sure. I mean, we focus heavily on our product margin. I mean, that's significant to make sure that, you know, we're executing, you know, from a billing reimbursement standpoint. Labor and delivery are key metrics in our business, so we focus on those items on a per script basis. We look at gross margin dollars on a per script basis as well as operating profit. And then we also look at operating profit as a percent of revenue. So those are the key metrics. I mean, from a working capital standpoint, we want to make sure we keep our hands around AR and the DSOs we have, inventory turns, et cetera, just to make sure that the business, you know, is capitalized properly moving forward.
Now, you've been CFO of Guardian, the relative startup, and Guardian, this fairly mature middle market firm. Can you share with us how the role of CFO has changed over time?
When we initially began, you know, putting the financial and operational structure together, we had one location in Phoenix. And I'll tell you, they probably got sick of seeing some of us. Today, we've got 25 going to 30 locations. So it's changed significantly. But from the onset, I would say our mindset has been to put the people, systems, processes, controls in place to run a large company. So I won't say, you know, we were ready to go public 8 years ago, but we've been working to run this company even when we were $50 million in revenue, run it like a $500 million company. So that's kind of been our mindset. We've also worked hard to stay in front of the support structure, and it's tricky in a high-growth environment. How much do you invest? Can we get by with this? Do we need to invest in that? And I think we've done a much better job of that in this endeavor, and that's some of our learning from our previous company. The final thing, we've surrounded ourselves, I think, with, you know, Fortune 500 caliber advisors from the accounting, law firms, banking relationships, real estate advisors, and other consultants. So that's kind of how we've transitioned, you know, from one location to 25 going to 30.
Guardian jointly owns the majority of its locations with local ownership groups. And so as CFO, you arguably oversee quite a few joint ventures today. How do you compare or maybe characterize your role to a CFO in a more traditional enterprise? Do you have more or less stakeholders?
Depends on the size of the company. You could have some large companies that have 10 owners. Obviously, public companies have thousands and hundreds of thousands of owners. But, you know, our business, as you said, is made up of 25 going to 35, 40, et cetera, individual businesses. So we've got a diverse group of owners and constituents that we work with. So it's, you know, we've got that many board meetings, that many financial packets, tax returns, business plans, bank statements, et cetera. So I think it's more complicated than, you know, a more traditional CFO role. But, you know, we made that decision from day one to structure Guardian this way. We think it's worth the investment and additional time it takes to run the business this way, because the local entrepreneur and their teams are focused on executing in their existing market. And I think it really helps them keep the eye on the ball. And I would say the results we are achieving are proving the strategy that we've embarked on to be effective. So it, you know, it requires a very collaborative process in working with our local entrepreneurial presidents. We look to them to guide the business, you know, make decisions, and carry it forward. And I'd say 99% of the time, what they recommend, we all agree with. I mean, and that's the beauty of our model, because the local entrepreneur as well as Guardian, our interests are consistently aligned, and that really helps the presidents stay focused, make the right decisions to keep the business growing profitably.
Can you share with us how your finance team interacts with the different pharmacies and how they connect with other team members?
Well, our support team here in Atlanta is made up of like 20 different subject matter experts. And if you take our finance organization, we have a controller who is responsible for the financial statement process, payables process, revenue cycle management. And then we have people on their team that each of our local financial people work with to execute on those processes. We have a director of finance in each pharmacy that would work with our teams here. We also have a treasury function that, you know, works with each of the local teams on risk management, working capital management, the legal side of the equation, et cetera, et cetera. And then moving outside of the financial area, we have our human capital management group. We have our information technology group. We have our margin management group. And then we have a purchasing and analytics group. So within the four walls here, we have all these different subject matter experts to consult and help our local teams execute on the, you know, the various issues they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
It would be interesting to know how your budgeting process works in this very local autonomy environment. How does that, how do you centralize and roll out your budgeting process?
We start the process, and by the way, we're on a calendar year, so we start the process for the next year in September, and we've got a very robust template that our directors of finance and presidents in each location work with, and we do it in a stepwise fashion. We work the revenue and sales, then we work the labor, and then get to the expenses, and all this culminates over about a six-week period with face-to-face meetings to discuss our goals and objectives, really how we did in the prior year, what our goals are for the next year. So it's really a bottoms-up approach done by the local management teams. We help and facilitate from here and factor in any, you know, global things that may be affecting the business, and then end up with a great product, location specific, sometime in, you know, late November, and then we launch off into the next year.
So what is one thing that's really exciting you about finance and business right now there at Guardian Pharmacy?
I think it's the value that the finance organization can provide. We see great entrepreneurs achieving great results, but many times they may be out of control, have working capital, human capital issues, and I think it's just a marriage made in heaven where we can come in and help with all of these issues, the right financial and analytical tools. And you've heard it before, and it may be corny, but one and one, you know, doesn't equal two, it equals three or four. When we find the right local partner coupled with the Guardian support, it's a huge win. And again, we see business most times are struggling on the business and finance side. And these businesses that grow and are out of control, they're going to struggle. And we've seen, you know, many that we partnered with and are running fine. We've seen some that we hadn't partnered with and the model wasn't right, and, you know, you're going to typically run into trouble. So what we're looking for, and I think what excites us, is finding the right partners where they can see the value that we bring, we see the value that they bring, and together we continue to grow the business over a very long period of time. One thing that's interesting about our model is our partners that have been partners with us for many years, they're probably our biggest fans of the model. They're the ones we go to tell the story to new potential partners who are considering joining our company, because they, you know, we've been through the wars together. They understand how the relationship works and how it, you know, succeeds and grows together. So whether it's Fred Burke or me or any of our other team talking about how great it can be, that pales in comparison to somebody that's experienced it. So, you know, that's what excites me about it. It's working.
Okay, David, we now enter our mentoring round where we ask you three quick questions about yourself. What is the best business advice you've ever received?
I don't know if it's advice or knowledge, but I would say that, you know, you can have an A business plan or theory about a business with B or C execution, and you're probably going to fail. But you can take a B or C business plan with A execution, and you're much more likely to achieve great results. And you look at our business here, it's not the most sexy business, but I think we really focus on execution.
Can you share one of your personal habits that you believe has contributed to your success?
One thing I try to focus on, and whether you're in an entrepreneurial environment like we are, a Fortune 500 company, executives have hundreds of things coming at them every day, typically more than anyone can handle. So I think it's important to identify and focus your energy on things that add most value to the business. And again, it sounds simple, but I see it every day where people are not doing that at all levels in the organization. I call it focusing on what's material and important to moving the company and organization forward. So you need to come back and always ask yourself, whether you're looking at it on a weekly, monthly, or annual basis, is the activity that I'm focused on working to create value? So it's basically working on the right things at the right time.
Is there a book you'd recommend to, say, aspiring finance leaders?
Yeah, there are a couple of things, and I would say before recommending the book, you know, that most financial leaders and executives that I've seen have the core financial accounting general business backgrounds, and those are the attributes that will get you in the door. And what I encourage people to focus on, and this will lead to a couple of books, is improving your ability to lead and motivate a team, and not only just in the finance area, but across the entire organization. So being an effective leader is key to moving your career forward. So with that, a couple of books. One's kind of finance, but Bob Seeler wrote a book called Start with the Answer, and it talks about keeping it simple, use common sense, and work really hard. Another book that everybody has seen, New York Times bestseller, but we're working on it with our whole leadership team here, Guardian, is Patrick Lencioni's 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, and it's really been effective. And I would encourage, you know, future financial leaders and executives to focus on books like that that would help them in their leadership, teamwork, and management capabilities.
David Morris, thank you for joining us on CFO Thought Leader.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Now, CFO Thought Leaders, I know you love audio, and if you haven't already, you can get The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni free at CFOThoughtLeaderBook.com. That's CFOThoughtLeaderBook.com. Great to have David Morris with us. Thanks for joining us. This is Jack Sweeney.